Good morning and welcome to the First Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Lord's Day. Just a few announcements before we begin worship. The flowers on the communion table and the ferns were left for us by Anita and Ricky Greer, who were married in this space yesterday. And it was really hard, Mr. Cook, it was really hard for us to pry Curtis Carter away from that piano. He wanted to stay and play all day long, but he had to go home eventually. Had a wonderful time. We will have Bible study this week, Lord willing, on Tuesday at 4 p.m. in the Annex, and we'll live stream it on the church Facebook page. We will also have a memorial service for Jimmy and Jane Person, and that will be here in this space tomorrow at 11 a.m. After the memorial service, the family will receive visitors in the annex. So a lot going on this season. Let's continue to be in prayer for the family as they are missing our good friends, Jimmy and Jane. Let's be called to worship now with these words from Psalm 118. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and to be glad in it. Let's worship our God as we stand and sing His praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, we are surrounded by so many different kinds of messages all week long. They come at us through our computer and TV screens and on our cell phones, and so many of these different voices clamoring for our attention are saying so many contradictory things. We don't know which of them we should believe. And so today we come to you, for you are the truth. We come to the one we know will never lead us astray because you love us too much to do that. And we know that you love us precisely because we have seen the death and the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. So fill us with your Holy Spirit today that we might truly trust in Christ as Savior and Lord. Let us hear the voice of our King with confidence, and let us respond to his voice with faithful obedience. For we come claiming only his merit and trusting only in his sacrifice for us, even as we offer the prayer that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, take up your hymnals. Our responsive reading today comes from the back of the hymnal, selection 651. Selection 651. This comes from lots of different places in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. And this is just a sample of what the Holy Scriptures have to say about themselves, what the Bible says about the Bible. I'll read the light face print and encourage you to respond with the bold. Let's read these many different portions of God's Word responsively. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the impulse of man, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. I have laid up thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep thy law and observe it with my whole heart. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The unfolding of thy words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Great peace have those who love thy law. Nothing can make them stumble. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's celebrate this good gift of God's Holy Scripture as we turn in our hymnals to selection 225. As we stand on the promises of God, we'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 225, and let us stand to sing.
Thank you.
We have sung God's praise for the wonder of His Word. Let us now say what that Word tells us about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as we use the words of the Apostles' Creed found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Be seated. And it's time for our children to come forward for a brief lesson today. I think we've got a few. Oh, wow. Got a bunch. Wonderful. Good to see all of y'all this morning. Okay. Good morning. We've got some long-distance visitors today. Come on and sit down. All right, I gotta tell you something. We're going to have a memorial service tomorrow. And we're going to have people coming to town from all over. And I'm going to have to tell them how to get to the cemetery. Now, here's the problem. Folks who live in Port Gibson give directions like this. Well, you go down Church Street to where Miss Jane Ellis used to live. She's the one that gave the piano to the church. And you turn in between her house and Mr. C.Y. Katzenmeyer's house, and then you go down a few blocks and you go up and there's a cemetery. Well, is anybody going to... Do you all know what I'm talking about? You don't have a clue. Okay, so I'm probably going to have to use this instead. What is this? A map! Have y'all ever seen a paper map? Okay. All right. Good. So you know what we're talking about. Okay. Here's the map. So I would tell them from the church, which is right here, we're going to go south on Church Street until we get to Greenwood Street. And then we're going to turn and we're going to go and there is the cemetery. Now, it was easy when you have a map, isn't it? Well, that is sort of what the Bible is for us. It's our map. It's our guide for life. It helps us learn how we should live and what we should do. And that's why God gave us the Scriptures, so we would know where to go, and what to do, how to live, and how to care for each other. So let's pray and ask God, give Him thanks for the Scripture He's given to us. Lord, thank You so much for the Bible. Thank You that we can read it or we can have our parents read it to us. Lord, we thank You that in Your Word You tell us everything we need to know more about Jesus so that we might be saved and so that we might tell others about Him. Lord, we thank You and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank y'all so much for coming. That's always the hardest part about a map, isn't it? It's folding it back up. There we go. Well, let's continue our worship as we take up our hymnals once again. And we will turn to selection 222, selection 222, as we continue to give God thanks and praise for the words he has spoken to us about the Lord Jesus. So we'll sing all three stanzas of hymn 222, and let us stand to sing. Be seated. What does God's word tell us? Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That's the promise of Christ we can stand on. That's the wonderful words that come from the one who is life. So with the confidence of children of God, let's take Jesus at his word and let's go to him in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for what your word tells us about you. And yes, we even thank you for what your word tells us about ourselves. For whenever we open your word, we look into a mirror. And the mirror shows us just how far short we have fallen of your expectations. Lord, we know that we don't love you as much as we should. We know that we don't love others just as much as we love ourselves. And we know that we have earned, because of our rebellion against you, we have earned what Christ received on the cross. But Lord, we thank you. We thank you that Jesus went to the cross and not us. And we thank you that he didn't just die, but that he rose again, and that he ascended into heaven, and that he is even now praying for all of his people. Thank you. And thank you that we can join our prayers with his and with all the angels around the throne and with all the saints throughout all the ages. We can join our voices with theirs, praising you and asking for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. And we look, and Lord, we pray for those who don't know this precious privilege. We pray for those who haven't yet heard about Jesus. And we pray for our missionaries. We pray for our evangelists. Lord, we pray for all of those who are going to tell the good news in places where it's never been heard before. Lord, we pray for those who have heard the good news, but for whatever reason they haven't believed. Maybe the circumstances of their life are too difficult. Maybe they've been disappointed. Maybe they've misunderstood. But Lord, we pray that even as you have done for us, you would do for them, that you would open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf, and Lord, let them see and hear Christ. And Father, we pray the same thing for ourselves, that you would open our eyes and our ears, that we might see and hear more of your truth. And then we pray that you would allow us to be the agents of your grace. Lord, that we would carry your message of love and truth and justice and holiness and righteousness and mercy and peace. Lord, that we would carry this truth not only with our lips but with our lives, that people would see Jesus when they see us. Lord, fill us up with your Holy Spirit, that we might live the life of Christ, and that we might understand your word so that we might know how that life should be lived. We offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. Continue our study through the Bible today, and we've been reading through, not just on Sunday mornings, but if you'll open your bulletin, you'll notice a set of Bible readings inside, and if you read along with those, then we'll be all the way through the Scriptures in a year. So if you haven't started up to this point, you can start now, and Monday, tomorrow, we'll start on Joshua, and we'll find out all about the exciting stories there. But today, we're going to take a moment and look at part of yesterday's reading to remind us of why it is that we're reading the Bible. What is it that the Bible is good for? What's the point of all of this? So let's take a look at Psalm 119. Now, don't worry, we're not going to read the whole psalm. It is the longest chapter in the Bible, the longest psalm in the Psalter, and it's about the Scriptures. It's about the Scriptures, as we would say, from A to Z, because each part of the psalm, you'll notice, has a little strange word ahead of it. Ahead of verse 1 is the word Aleph, and ahead of verse 9 is the word Beth. These are the letters of the Hebrew Bible, the letters of the Hebrew language. And so today, instead of reading from Aleph to Tov, we're going to read from A to Z, and today we're going to look at the letter M, because in the Hebrew, every single verse from 97 to 104 begins with the Hebrew letter M. So this psalm tells us from A to Z why we should read the Scriptures. The psalmist says, "Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers,
for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. That's God's word. So have you ever taken a trip without using a map? Have you ever taken a trip without even having a firm destination in mind? Maybe you got in the car or you got on your motorcycle and you just went somewhere without any thought of where you were going. Have you ever done that? Even if you can only take a different route to somewhere you've been many times before, traveling just a few unfamiliar miles can feel like an adventure. I didn't know that was on this road. Letting go of your schedule, your appointment book, ignoring your watch. Don't worry, I'm not going to ignore my watch this morning. But just going somewhere can be a wonderful release. I hope we've all enjoyed that. But eventually, such spontaneous trips have one of two ends. You either end up totally lost, or you end up back home, aimlessly wandering around, maybe fun for a while, but it is ultimately fruitless. And y'all, all of us are on a journey every single day, the trip we call the Christian life. And if we want to bear fruit for God on this trip, we need to determine His will for our lives, both as individuals and a congregation. We need to know where God wants us to go. And in order to do that, in order to know even the next step that God would have any of us to take, we have to follow the roadmap, not the one that shows us how to get around Port Gibson, but the roadmap that we find in the Scriptures. And as our text today shows us, following God's plan, well, it can be fun. It can be a whole lot of fun, and it can be, it will be, a lot more fruitful than any aimless wandering might be. So, any journey must begin with a consideration of the route. Even if you're just driving to drive, when you get to a fork in the road, you can't do what Yogi Berra said. You can't just take it. You have to decide. You're going to go right or you're going to go to the left. Every route, every journey has to include a consideration of the route. And just so, the Scriptures give us a lot of directions, don't they? The law of God. We've been studying through that law over the last several weeks. And we've learned a lot of things about how God wants us to live. And we need to know that law well. Our text in verse 97 says we are to meditate on the law of God. That means read it over and over again. Think about it over and over again. Not just occasionally, but all day long. We must keep the truths of the Holy Scriptures at the forefront of our minds instead of just allowing them to be an afterthought. And that's important, isn't it? I mean, back in the days before GPS, I had to take a long journey. I don't remember where I was going, but it must have been an unfamiliar destination. I knew the next exit that I needed to take off of the interstate. I had the number. I knew the number of the exit that I needed to take. But I had become so engrossed in an audiobook, I blew right by that exit. I don't know how many more exits I got to before I turned around. Y'all, we have to keep God's roadmap close at hand. We need to have God's guidebook firmly in mind so that we can stay on the route that He has mapped out for us. That's why we meditate on God's Word. But let's face it, God's plans are not always clear, are they? We don't always know exactly where the route's going to take us. And the Bible is a big book.
And the law of God, I hope you've discovered over these last few weeks, is full of rather mysterious details. And some of them nobody really understands. Thou shalt not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. What does that mean? So we don't know everything about the Bible. And to top it off, we have the ever-present problem of sin in our minds and our hearts. I used to tell my cadets, teaching at Chamberlain Hunt, I used to tell them that sin gives us heart disease and brain damage. It makes us feel the wrong way, and it makes us think the wrong way. And so we have this sin problem. We have this natural tendency to rebel against God, and it clouds our minds, it clouds our hearts, it distracts us from His plans and His purposes. So how can we ever hope to understand everything God is saying to us, even if we were to spend all day reading the Bible? So even if we know what we must learn, God's Word, we have to move on to determine how we must learn it. But in this passage, we find the good news that wisdom, the ability to understand and apply God's Word to our lives, wisdom comes from the reading of God's Word itself. What does the psalmist tell us? Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. See, that's the good news. God does not leave us to guess what His Word means. God does not leave us to guess what He would have us to do. Instead, the very process of reading and meditating on God's Word makes us more able to understand what He is saying to us. The more you read it, the more you understand it. This is a big reason why so many of us are trying to read through the whole Bible this year. You get a better grasp of how the parts fit together. And thus, you understand each part more completely. So it turns out that what we learn, God's Word, is intimately connected to how we learn, which is reading God's Word. The process of meditating on God's Word increases our ability to understand it and to apply it to our lives. Study of the Bible itself gives more insight into it. Okay, so now we know what we need to learn. Now we know how we need to learn it. But if we're going to take a trip, we have to go beyond that. Anytime we take a trip, it's important to do that. It's important to have the preparations, what are we going to go, where are we going to go, how are we going to get there. We spread out our map on the kitchen table, or maybe we pull up a map app on our phone or computer, and we study the different kinds of highways available to us. Do I want the shortest route in time? Do I want the most fuel economical route? Do I want to avoid tolls, which is important for our friends in Texas? So we study all of this, and we may even call ahead and make reservations in the towns to which we plan to travel. But no matter how much preparation we make, no matter how much we learn about our route and about our destination, no matter how careful our planning may be, no trip takes place around the kitchen table. No trip takes place while we're sitting at the computer. No, for us to get anywhere, we have to go. The rubber has to hit the road. And the same thing is true for our Christian lives, isn't it? Once we know what we've learned, once we know how we should learn it, we need to move on to how we should actually take this trip, how we must travel. Because just as any trip must be taken in conformity with the traffic laws, or should be, so our journey through life must remain in conformity with God's will. So what are God's rules of the road? Well, both verses 100 and verse 101 tell us we must keep God's precepts and His Word. Now, these two different Hebrew words translated as keep, but both of them involve careful attention to detail. One of these Hebrew words for keep was used of Adam, who was placed in the Garden of Eden, to keep it, to tend it, to nurture it.
So we must take great care not only to understand what God's Word says, but to seek to put it into practice each and every day, each and every mile we travel along life's journey. We must keep God's law. But as verses 101 and 102 point out, we also keep this law by refraining from evil ways. We keep it by not departing from God's judgments. We must not only, you see, do what the law tells us to do, we must also avoid what the law forbids. We must seek to do what God commands us, but we must also seek to keep ourselves free from sin, free from any breach of God's law. Well, so much is clear, but at this point you might be wondering, I thought you said this trip was going to be fun. This sounds like a drag, having to remember all this stuff, having to mind your P's and Q's all the time. Well, that might be a fair criticism if we did not stop to examine the content of God's law. For the law itself shows us how we should respond to this journey. How should we respond to God's word? Let's think for a second. Where are we going on this trip? What is the ultimate goal of the Christian life? What is it that God's law is commanding us to do? It's something good. It's something pleasant. It's something ultimately meaningful. Jesus summed up the whole law this way. This is what Jesus said. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You see, according to Jesus, the law of God, the whole Bible, boils down to love. And isn't that interesting? That's the same reaction the psalmist has to the law in verse 97. He says, oh, how I love thy law. And why does the psalmist love God's law? Because of what God's law is. God's law tells us how to love. It tells us how to live in love, how to love God, how to love one another. Love is the reason for our journey. Love is the way we conduct our journey. Love is our final destination. How could that be a drag? You see, God's law of love is a reflection of God's character because God is love. So when we read the Bible, we are entering in a very real way into the very thoughts, into the very heart of God. Is it any wonder that the psalmist loves reading God's word? And notice he also says he delights in the very words of Scripture. Now, I know I've got some parents in the room. I've got some grandparents in the room. And you know that children love to say words over and over and over and over again, regardless of whether they understand them or not. Dr. Seuss has made a fortune off of making up nonsense rhymes for children just for this reason. And maybe you still know some of those rhymes from when you were young. You see, children like to hear the music of words. Children like to feel the words in their mouths. You might say they like the way words taste. And although their parents and their grandparents and their teachers' patience might be tried by this seemingly endless repetition of phrases and rhymes, we cannot deny and we should envy the way children enjoy words for words' sake. And they especially enjoy repeating things their parents say, even if they don't know exactly what those things mean, which sometimes has embarrassing results. But it's this simple, basic enjoyment of the word that the psalmist celebrates in verse 103. How sweet are thy words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The Hebrew word here suggests not only taste, but feeling, because the word for taste can also be translated as smooth or pleasant.
So we can imagine the psalmist repeating the words of Scripture over and over again. And remember, ancient people would read aloud always. So he's reading it over and over. He's relishing the feel and the sound of the words. Why? Not just because the Scriptures tell us how to love God and how to love one another. Not simply because the Scriptures tell us stories about God's love for us. No, the psalmist loves the Scripture for the same reason we should. He loves even the words of Scripture for the same reason that we should. It's the same reason children repeat what their parents say. Because the Scripture has been spoken to us by the God who loves us so much. The words of Scripture reflect the very character of God. And God has given them to us. God has given His Word to us to draw us ever more deeply into this love. Yes, that's the best reason we should love the Scripture and long to study it. Because we love the one who has spoken these words to us. And some of you may remember the days when the post office actually delivered mail to the right address. And some of you may remember getting a letter from a loved one who was far away. Maybe it was a husband who was fighting in a war overseas, or maybe a wife who had gone on a mission somewhere. And that letter came in your mailbox, and your heart beat a little faster even before you even opened it. Today, you get an email, and you recognize the person from whom it was sent, or you get a text message, or maybe your phone or your tablet lights up, and there's that video app where you can see and hear your loved one at the same time. Think of how you love those messages. Think of how a mother longs to hear the voice of her college student, even if the only reason he's calling is to ask for more money. It's the love that makes the message precious. Y'all, the Scriptures are a love letter from God to us. So shouldn't we cherish it? And what an amazing letter it is. I hope you've been learning that as we've been reading through it up to this point. Just think. The God whose ways are higher than our ways and whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts, this God has condescended to communicate with us in words that we can understand. Just think. The God who summoned the universe into existence with a word, this God has spoken the same kinds of words to us. Words full of wonderful truth, love, mercy, grace, peace, joy, welcome, forgiveness, pardon. The God who justly condemns everyone for our sinful rebellion against Him has also spoken to us of His gracious plans to save all who would turn to Christ in faith. So along with the psalmist, should we not hate whatever is false? Should we not hate whatever denies God or God's truth? Should we not long to saturate our very selves with the sounds of the Scripture? Should we not seek to follow God's good and perfect map for our lives? Should we not long to know more about God's gracious plans for us and the next steps He would have us to take? And as we seek God's will in the Scripture, should we not be confident that He will show us the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step on life's journey? So this week, especially today, this Lord's Day, let's take out our roadmap. Let's take out the Scripture and let's read it. And let's plan what our next steps in ministry will be based on God's Word. For if we follow God's route for our lives, who can doubt that it is a sweet route, a joyful route, a fulfilling route, a fruitful route? And we need not be afraid of what maybe around the bend of a road we have not yet traveled.
because the God who has loved us enough to die for us has been there already. And He has spoken to us. And He will be with us every step of the way. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for everything in Your Word. And we thank You that You have given Your Word to us. And so we pray that You would give us more and more of a desire to read Your Word, more and more of a desire to know Your Word, to keep Your Word, to follow Your Word, to understand Your Word. Lord, we ask that You would give us a heart like the psalmist's heart, a heart that's excited and joyful to open up Your Word. Lord, give us a heart like Jesus, who followed every step that You laid out before Him. Lord, teach us, lead us, guide us. For we offer this prayer in the name of our Lord and for His sake. Amen. God has given us His Word to guide us. He leads us every step of the way. Let's celebrate that truth as we take up our hymnals. We'll turn to selection 439. He leadeth me wherever He would have me to go. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 439, and let us stand to sing.
Thank you.
May we follow God's leading as we study His roadmap, as we study His scriptures every day. May we walk in the way He has set for us to go. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.